Vedaham Samatitani Vartamanani Charjuna Pravishani Chaputani Mam Tu Veda Nakashchana. O Arjun, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, I know everything that has happened in the past, all that is happening in the present, and all things that are yet to come. I also know all living entities, but me, no one knows. Purport. Here the question of personality and impersonality is clearly stated. If Krishna, the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, were Maya, material, as the impersonalists consider him to be, then, like the living entity, he would change his body and forget everything about his past life. Anyone with a material body cannot remember his past life, nor can he foretell his future life, nor can he predict the outcome of his present life. Therefore, he cannot know what is happening in past, present, and future. Unless one is liberated from material contamination, he cannot know past, present, and future. Om Jnana Timirantasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Niditam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manopistam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupakada Mahyam Tathati Shapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Stam Sajivam Sadvaitam Shavadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Shahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhan Vitamscha E Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kamshana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Mori Priye Vancha Golpataru Vyascha Kripa Sindho Vyevacha Padita Nam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vashani Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. I think you might want to consider moving up a little bit because more people are coming in from the back. So if you move up a little bit, don't have a place. There's more to this purport, but we'll take it in pieces. Oh. Sometimes people ask, if I lived before, why can't I remember? If reincarnation is a fact, if the soul is traveling from life to life, then why can't I remember? And the answer given here is because we change our bodies. When we change from one body to the next, we forget everything. Even in the course of this one lifetime, as we know, we're changing bodies from childhood to youth to old age. And we forget. I don't remember very much from when I was, say, 6 years old. In fact, I don't think I remember anything from when I was 6 years old. And yet I was there. I can say with certainty that I don't remember anything from when I was in the womb. But that's not an argument against my being having been there. If you were in the womb, why don't you remember? I changed my body. So I've forgotten. And every one of us is in that circumstance. We're changing from body to body to body, even in this lifetime. And we understand from Bhagavad Gita that we're changing. Finally, at the time of death, to another body, dehantara prapti. So with this change of body, we don't know what's happened in the past. We don't have a clear picture of what happened in the past, even when we were there. We've got competition in the back, and it's not enough that it's in the back, it's competition anyway. So we don't have a clear picture of what happened in the past. Okay, whoever that is, please. The child is disturbing and should be elsewhere. I don't have any grudge against children who don't like my lectures. As long as they leave. We'll see if that does anything. Okay, let's see if that works. We don't even remember what happened to us, and what to speak of what happened to other people. We depend on history, and history is largely fabricated. So who knows what actually happened? All the stuff we read in our history books. You read about the history of South Africa when you're in South Africa, it's one thing. You read about it someplace else, it's another thing. Or you read about the history of South Africa, say, 20 years ago, it was a whole different history than what you'd read today. Because we make it up as we go along, or we change it as we go along. Even if you did something and you read about it in the newspaper, chances are that what you read about is different from what happened. And what to speak of big, big events of the world and over so many centuries. We say, yes, in such and such time, such and such thing happened, but we really don't know. So nobody really knows the past very clearly. And for the present, we're also confused. I'm thinking I'm this body. I'm thinking so many things are going on pertaining to me that actually have nothing to do with me. They pertain to the body, they pertain to the mind, but they don't pertain to me at all. So I'm confused in that way. And apart from that, because I have imperfect senses, I get confused about what's actually out there. I see one thing and it's really a different thing. I think somebody's intention is one thing and it's really another thing. We make mistakes, we fall into illusion. We have imperfect senses and we have a tendency to cheat and be cheated. With all these imperfections, who knows what's going on now? So many things that are too small for me to see, so many things that are too big for me to see. All sorts of people are right now meeting in some government rooms, making big, big decisions that affect all of us, and we don't know anything about it. Maybe they're meeting in Washington or London or who knows where, Pretoria. We don't know. Our food is digesting, we don't know how that's happening. Our hair is growing or falling out, we don't know how that's happening. And even the present, we don't know. And what to speak of the future? The future is obscure. So, as conditioned souls, this is our situation. We don't really know the past, we don't really know the present. And we're in the dark about the future. But, and that's even within our own little jurisdiction. What do I know about what's happening in the present in the life of somebody who's living in Zambia at the moment? I don't know anything. My knowledge extends for 20 feet in every direction. But Krishna says, he knows everything. Vedaham samatitani, I know everything. Vartamanani charjana, everything that's happening now. Pavishani, bhutani, future, past, everything. But we don't know. Unlike the ordinary human being, Lord Krishna clearly says that he completely knows what happened in the past, what's happening in the present, and what will happen in the future. In the fourth chapter, we've seen that Lord Krishna remembers instructing Vibhishan, the sun god, millions of years ago. Arjuna forgot. How is it that you spoke to the sun god millions of years ago? Krishna said, you were also there. But you've forgotten. I remember. Because Arjuna is changing his body from one lifetime to the next, and Krishna never changes his transcendental Sachidananda Vigraha, his spiritual form. Krishna knows every living entity because he's situated in every living being's heart as the Supersoul. Sarvasya Chaham Pradisana Vishnu. Krishna is in everyone's heart. But despite his presence in every living being as Supersoul and his presence as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the less intelligent, even if able to realize the impersonal Brahma, cannot realize Sri Krishna as the Supreme Person. At most, people generally get, not even generally, but at most, people by mental speculation arrive at the idea that there must be some Supreme Force, some supreme something. But they don't understand the Supreme Personality of God. Even sometimes, and there's one society that distributes a lot of literature, and you can see sometimes the Supreme Lord is a great king sitting on a throne with sort of Roman toga sort of stuff. And no face. A faceless entity. Well, this Lord Krishna says, no one knows me. They at most have some impersonal idea. And they're so misguided that they think that the impersonal aspect of the Supreme is higher than Krishna the person. They think that Krishna maybe is some sort of projection of the Absolute in the material sphere. But they don't know. Purusham Shashvatam Divyam, that Krishna is the Supreme Transcendental Person. That knowledge is being given here. Certainly the transcendental body of Sri Krishna is not perishable. He is just like the sun, and Maya is like a cloud. In the material world, we can see that there is the sun, and there are clouds, and different stars and planets. The clouds may cover all these in the sky temporarily, but this covering is only apparent to our limited vision. The sun, moon, and stars are not actually covered. Similarly, Maya cannot cover the Supreme Lord. By his internal potency, he's not manifest to the less intelligent class of men. As it is stated in the third verse of this chapter, out of millions and millions of men, some try to become perfect, some few, in this human form of life, and out of thousands and thousands of such perfected men, hardly one can understand what Lord Krishna is. Even if one is perfected by realization of the impersonal Brahma or localized Paramatma, he cannot possibly understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, without being in Krishna consciousness. Mam tu vedam kastram. Hardly anyone knows me. Hardly anyone. Manusyanam sarasveshu kaschit yatati sutaya. Out of thousands and thousands and thousands of human beings, maybe one tries for perfection. Or maybe one attains perfection. Perfection means to know that I'm not this body, to know that I'm spirit soul. But yatatam api siddhanam kashchin mam veti tatva. Out of them, out of the perfected living beings, hardly anyone knows Krishna factually. They may have heard of Krishna, they may have seen a Mahabharata video, or they may have read something here or there. Or worse, they may have read a whole lot of rubbish about Krishna and think that Krishna is some manifestation, lesser manifestation of the Supreme. But hardly anyone actually understands Krishna as Purushottam, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Yoma meva masam bhuto janati purushottama sasarvavid. If one simply knows Krishna to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead, purushottama, the Supreme Transcendental Person, sarvavid, he knows everything. He knows everything. And then what? Bhajatima. Sasarvavid Pajatimam. If one knows Krishna to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that's not just information you sit on. Just if I told you that the winning lottery ticket was sitting under a cushion in the back, you wouldn't just say, well, that's very nice, thank you, always good to know. There'd be a big rush for the back of the room. Because when we know something that we think is really for our benefit or something valuable, we act on it. We act on it. So if one actually knows that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then bhima. One engages in Krishna's service. One engages in Krishna's service. What does it mean to be the Supreme Personality of God? It means he includes everything. He's the source of everything. It means we're all parts of Krishna. And as the hand is meant to serve the whole body, so every one of us is meant to serve Krishna. That's our natural position. And it's because we're not in that position that we're going through so much trouble, so much grief, so much frustration, so much everything. So Pajatima, he engages in Krishna's service. And why? Well, I guess I'm obliged because Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and I'm his servant, so I guess I have to do all this stuff. No, sarvapali. Pala means with ecstasy. Sarvapali. Krishna is the Supreme Personality. One becomes excited, one becomes enlightened, one becomes joyful. Sthane Rishikesha Tavak Kirtya. My dear Rishikesh, the whole world becomes joyful hearing your name. Praharshi Ashami Sanata Jivitam. One becomes happy when one actually realizes, because Krishna is happiness itself. Not impersonally, but he's the person who's the source of all happiness. His body is made of happiness. Our body is made of suffering. Every little part of it can cause trouble. And Krishna's body is made of pure, unadulterated happiness. Eternally existing, fully knowledgeable, unadulterated happiness. That's what Krishna's body is made of. Quite a different story from ours. So when one comes in touch with that Supreme Personality of Godhead, and one realizes, oh, I have a relationship with that Personality of Godhead, one becomes enlivened. Like a sleeping person when he wakes up and becomes enlivened, a new day. He's not in depression, he's actually wakes up, there's good prospects, he becomes enlivened. So when the conditioned soul wakes up from the sleeping condition, probably would say, or the nightmare of material life, it becomes joyful. There's happy life in relationship to the Supreme Personality of God. And there's so much, just the more we hear about Krishna, the more enlivening it gets. There's always something new. There's always something fresh. The pastimes of Krishna, the message of Krishna is enlivening to the heart. Tridkarna Rasayana Katha. These are joyful topics. So sarvabhavi, the sign of a person who's actually understood Krishna, is that he wants to serve Krishna with love, with happiness, with ecstatic feeling. It's Krishna's the Supreme Personality of God. He's the reservoir of beauty, reservoir of knowledge, reservoir of fame, reservoir of strength, beauty, wealth, renunciation, everything's there in Krishna. The one who realizes this fact about Krishna naturally wants to serve him. I'm supposed to speak something about books. I'm not really much of a motivational speaker, but the motivation comes from the books themselves. Prabhupada said that. He said, if you want to distribute my books, just show the book and talk about what's in the book. There's no separate thing that we have to do. He said the book practically sells itself. So we're reading this book, and that's the first thing. Prabhupada said the books are not just for selling, they're for reading. When we read the books, if we actually read them, even if we read just as much as we read today, in the course of the day, if we read that much, we'll see that there's knowledge that surpasses everything else out there. The so-called the technological knowledge, that's not knowledge. English. What people are building big universities for and spending so much money to attend. That's not the answer to the problem of life. That doesn't get me to first base in understanding who I am or what the purpose of my life is. And even if we get into theology or spirituality, still you won't find such comprehensive and systematic and sensible understanding as we find in this Vedic literature, especially Bhagavad Gita as it is, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's just not out there. And the result of its not being out there is that people are wandering around in darkness. Wandering in the darkness means bumping into one another, tripping over themselves, getting in serious trouble. Because in darkness, just darkness. Darkness about who they are, darkness about their life expires. And they didn't have an idea of who they were, what that life was for, and now it's gone. And they don't know where they're going next. Krishna says, I know past, present, and future. We don't know the future. Where will I go in my next life? I don't know, because I don't know what I was supposed to do in this life. And so I don't know the present, I don't know the future, I don't know what I did in the past. I'm confused, in a word. So these books are so excellent that they address that confusion and enable a receptive person to get free from that confusion. And there's no greater gift that we can give to anyone. People think that, you know, if you give something, if you endow a hospital, or if you give food to the poor, or if you provide clothing, medical help, if you start a foundation, then you're really a great guy. You're really doing something for people. But none of these activities, philanthropic, humanitarian, social, political, none of these activities actually solve anyone's problem. They probably said it's like blowing on a boil. It doesn't actually solve, you know, do anything, just temporary feeling, yes, something, but actually it's nothing. So all of these great, great activities don't solve the problem. They don't solve the problem. This solves the problem. Sometimes people say better than giving food or better than giving is to give education, because by education you teach a man how to, and he can give him food, yes, okay, but you teach him how to grow food. So education is supposed to be great. Yes, this person left a million rand for a new library for the university, his name's Tom. But adhyatma vidya vidyanam, of all education, this is the king of education. Education about who I am. Education about the purpose of my life. Why I'm here, where I'm going. That knowledge is there. People can read libraries full of books and remain as confused when they get out of the libraries when they went in, or more confused. They went into the library confused, they left the library 3 times as confused. The libraries archiving ignorance. Shelves full of it. But here's a book. If we read one page, our whole life can change. I had that experience. I was with Srila Prabhupada in his last days. and a new book arrived from Los Angeles, newly published book, Teachings of Lord Kapildev. And that night, because we different devotees used to stay with Srila Prabhupada on shifts, someone at this time, someone at that time, and I happened to be up in the middle of the night. And Prabhupada asked me to read. And I asked, what should I read from? And he said, that book, Teachings of Lord Kapildev. So I began reading Teachings of Lord Kapildev to Srila Prabhupada. And I read for a while, but just reading the first page, two pages, it seemed as if everything I needed to know had been somehow distilled onto those couple of pages. Anything that you would actually need to know, or the essence of what you would need to know, was right there within the first couple of pages. No beating around the bush, no, well, Dr. such and such has suggested, but Dr. other such and such has a different opinion. It could be, it might be. Straight out. This is who you are, this is what the purpose of your life is, here's what your problem is, here's what the solution is. In a page, two pages, three pages. And it's a 150-page book, 200, 300-page book. And that's just the first, that's pages 1, 2, and 3. So just reading that book in Srila Prabhupada's presence, I had that experience of seeing that in every line, there's so much knowledge. We don't realize how much knowledge is there because the book is Krishna. Even one of the books is called Krishna Book. But all of the books are Krishna Book. That is, Krishna in the form of a book. And Krishna is unlimited. Krishna is all merciful. Krishna is all blissful. Krishna is all everything. So when we come in touch with the book, we come in touch with Krishna. And what can't happen when we come in touch with Krishna? So the books are wonderful, that's all. There are no such wonderful books to be found in all the three worlds as the books that glorify Krishna coming in the Parampara system. And we have those books. By rare good fortune, these books are available to us. And it's with that appreciation that we can relish the books and that we can feel motivated, feel some impetus that I would like others to have this book. That's the basic principle. And why should I only have it? Why should I be a miser? That I've got it and I'm keeping it. Or if it's not miserly, why should I be timid? That I've got it, but I don't know if anyone else would be interested. Give them a chance. Give them a chance. There's so many people who are actually waiting to come in touch with this knowledge. They're there. They're looking. They're not finding. Or they're not looking, but if it falls on them, they'll say, where did this come from? So that's our job. To help those who are looking, or drop it on the heads of those who are not, to give everyone the chance to become fortunate. That's our job or our opportunity. If someone becomes fortunate, it's an opportunity for him to share good fortune with others. And that's the basic principle of our distributing these books. And when we do this, and everyone can do this, someone will distribute huge numbers of books, someone will distribute one here, one there. But when we take up this work, then we'll feel more enlightenment that I'm doing some service that's very dear to Krishna. I'm helping people who desperately need this knowledge. And then Dadami Buddhi Yogam Tam. Krishna gives you more intelligence, how to do it more. How to get more courage, what to say, or just a little reminder from to yourself that when I go out, I should have an extra book in my purse or an extra book in my car, or an extra book here or there, so that when I meet someone, I can offer that person a book. All of those opportunities are there. If I own a factory, then my workers can get books. If I'm cutting people's hair, my clients can get something beautiful. Wherever, whoever we are, whatever we're doing, we can distribute these books. And if you don't feel that very strongly, then just leave them. I'm not going to try and bang on anyone's head, you have to distribute these books, you have to distribute these books. Read them. And the book itself will persuade you. After some time, you'll just say, this book is so good. The book is so good. I have to tell people about this book. It's just too good. That's what it's all about. Prahlad Maharaj was sharing this knowledge with his school friends. School kids have the opportunity to do this. Prahlad Maharaj is showing the way. Old men, young men, women, everyone. I don't think I'm going to stop here. Yes, I am. And if you have any questions, we have time. Ooh. Do you have a second microphone?
I don't need a mic.
Shyamalan Prabhu does not need a microphone, but he's getting one anyway.
There's two points. This is just comments. Mm-hmm. You're talking about this book is so important, and so much information about God or Krishna. Once Srila Prabhupada was reading, or he asked his servant to read Krishna book or the other book, then the devotee asked Srila Prabhupada, you wrote this book. Why you have to read? You wrote it. And what Srila Prabhupada said,
please. Yeah, I'm not writing these books. I probably would say, I can't believe I've written such books. Krishna is writing the book.
I am Krishna's microphone.
I'm Krishna's microphone.
Yeah.
And Krishna is writing the book. I don't know how I'm writing these books. Krishna is writing the books.
Also, one time Srila Prabhupada says, whenever I read, I get so much information. Mm-hmm. Again, I get more. Mm-hmm.
And he's the author.
So therefore, as you're saying, this book is important. Therefore, this is the humanitarian activities by distributing these books every door to door. One day will come handy.
Wonderful, thank you.
Hare Krishna.
Maharaj, is there a relationship between offering obeisances to someone, a spiritual master or Krishna, and having your offenses forgiven?
Is there a relationship?
In other words, if you offer obeisances, or does that person, if you may have offended that person either knowingly or unknowingly,
well, we offer obeisances.
Does that person forgive your offenses?
When we offer obeisances, we bow down or whatever, that may to be kindly disposed toward us. But if we offend someone, then the real thing is that we ask forgiveness. We don't just sort of bow down, come back to the room, and hope that we'll be forgiven for our offenses. But we express to the person that I've offended you, and please forgive me. I mean, even in ordinary affairs, that's good manners. I mean, I was on the queue, the security queue for with our luggage the other day, and one gentleman stepped squarely on my foot. And naturally, he said, sorry. Yeah, it's just good manners. We offend someone, probably a guy was offended, I stepped on his foot, sorry. It's just good manners. But if we offend someone, especially a devotee, then it's only fitting that we should express our regret at having offended him and ask him to forgive us.
But sometimes we're so uncivilized, we may be committing offenses and we don't know it.
That happens. So at least we should try not to offend. Be sensitive to that. And live in such a way that people will be inclined to forgive us. If we go on, you know, arrogant, I know everything, the whole world can get out of my way, then you don't create a spirit in which people think, oh, well, this person, whatever he did wrong, we don't care, it's a small thing. But rather they'll look for it, oh, another stupid thing this guy did. He thinks he knows everything, he thinks he's king of the hill, and now another stupid thing the guy is doing. Doesn't he ever get it? Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Janadapi Shuni Chainam Tururapi Sijan. If we keep a humble mentality, a humble mood, then we can go on chanting, Sarva Bhutatma Bhutatma. Then Krishna becomes dear to us, everyone becomes dear to us, we become dear to everyone. That's the actual position.
One time Hari Shari Prabhu was Prabhupada's servant. He describes in the Transcendental Diary that he was eating with a spoon out of a bowl. Prabhupada was observing him. He put the spoon in his bowl and he touched his knee while he was eating. Then he picked up the spoon to continue eating, and Prabhupada said, "You're eating and you touched your knee?" And he said, "But Prabhupada, I wasn't putting my hand in my mouth. I was using the spoon." And Prabhupada said, "You are such a lecher."
What's the which one? Hold on. Hold on. You are speaking faster than I can hear.
Sorry. What's the opinion of ISKCON about worshiping of Gopal deity, Krishna Prarinam?
What's the opinion of ISKCON? I don't know. I'll have to ask ISKCON.
Should devotees of this form worship this deity? Because I've never read in Prabhupada's book.
There was one lady in Los Angeles, and Prabhupada told her that she could worship this Gopal deity. You mean Ladu Gopal? Yeah. There was one lady, I think her name is Nandula, and Prabhupada told her she could worship such a deity. Excuse me?
It's authorized.
It's okay. Those who are directly living nearby the temple, the most best thing for them is to worship the deity in the temple, not divert their attention to
you know, another deity and another deity and another deity and another deity. When the deity is here in the temple, if you're living close by in the temple community, you can come here, worship Radha and Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
What about, say, I know some temples,
residents, devotees, they also have deities in their room.
Well, I'm not, you know, who am I to say now about all these things? The general principle is that when we're living in the temple, then the deity is there, and the inmates try to focus their attention on worshiping the deity in the temple. Now, what other circumstances might come to bear on that is for the person who knows past, present, and future, and knows all living entities. Something else. Oh, I've got a whole batch of something else. Let's see what's going on. September 18th was the disappearance day of His Grace Sadagupta Prabhu. I've since gained some appreciation for Prabhu by downloading and listening to some of his lectures. Can you please share some remembrances, qualities of him, seeing that Her Holiness was his good friend? Well, that could be a whole class. Some people listen to him in person. Those who don't know of him, he was a mathematician. Got his doctorate in mathematics at Cornell University in America, and came in touch with the Krishna Consciousness Movement, and made a lot of contributions to a scientific understanding of Krishna Consciousness and a scientific presentation of Krishna Consciousness. One of his early monographs was called Demonstration by Information Theory, that life cannot arise from matter. Anyone is welcome to read it and get a summary understanding of it. And those of you who can read math can actually read it from beginning to end, because it's got lots of equations in it. Otherwise, you can get the idea. I was always impressed by Sadaputta's conviction that the literature was right. He wasn't a doubting scientist who was trying to satisfy his own misgivings or whatever. He was convinced of the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, and he was dedicated to presenting it convincingly, which he did. He made wonderful contributions to understanding of the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, can be a very difficult book to understand, even to see what it's saying and what to speak of, how it relates to what scientists think of the world. But he's made wonderful contributions there to our understanding of Vedic cosmology. He's written about artificial intelligence. He's wrote articles that have nothing to do with Krishna consciousness, scientific journal articles that apparently have nothing to do with Krishna consciousness, but they build a foundation for Krishna conscious ideas. He co-authored a book that had to do with the complexity of the E. coli bacterium. Nothing about Krishna. But you can build on that to show that such a complex entity could never have arisen spontaneously from matter. That life must come from life, which is one of Prabhupada's dominant themes. Dominant theme. So there's, he used to write for Back to God, and he wrote many articles, and some of them were compiled in books also. And he was a wonderful, he had a wonderful sense of humor also. He used to choose sometimes very funny examples to explain things, where he used to enjoy sort of intelligent fun. And so he was a wonderful devotee, and we miss him a lot. Where did you download these things so that you can tell everyone? Yeah.
There's a website,
iskondesiretree.com. Okay, iskondesiretree.com. Wonderful website. There's tons and tons of good stuff there if you haven't discovered this website. www.iskondesiretree.com. Lectures by many Iskon leaders, kirtans. It's basically what it says it is. It's a desire tree, whatever you want. Go there and find it. When we sing the Lord's name or glorify the Lord and his devotees, why do we pick up our hands? Exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point. Well, from what I've seen, actually, devotees tend not to pick up their hands. The hands just kind of go up by themselves. If we cannot remember past, present, or future, how is it possible that some people claim to have premonitions or recall past events from their previous lives? Well, there are several explanations. One explanation is that they're lying. That happens. A second explanation is that they're mistaken. That also happens. And a third explanation is that they may have some clue, some inkling. It's not that we never remember anything about the past, or that we have no clue about anything in the present, or that we may not get some idea about the future also. But it's very imperfect. How much of the past can I remember? How many past lives? How many have I had? If I remember something of one past life, what's that? It's a drop in the bucket. And how well do I remember? How well do I remember this life? Where did I put my car keys? You can know something about the future. You see the cat, you see the milk, you know what's going to happen next. But that doesn't put us on the same level as Krishna. Krishna knows everything that happened in the past. He knows everything that's happening now. He knows everything that's going to happen in the future. And he knows all the entities. I mean, all the time people come, Maharaj, do you remember me? Hare Krishna. Krishna knows all the things. Can you please speak a little on performing devotional service in the different modes of nature? That's a big subject matter. It's explained in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam by Lord Kapildev, the son of Devahuti. The summary is that pure devotional service has no material qualities, but because we're in touch with material qualities, we're still really infested with material qualities. Until we come to the platform of pure devotional service, our devotional service may still be show some color of these three modes of nature. When it shows the color of ignorance, then our service is still affected by arrogance or anger or pride. When it's affected by the color of passion, then we want to get something, some recognition, some remuneration, some desire of ours fulfilled in exchange for the devotional service. And when it's in the mode of goodness, we may be fascinated by different intellectual this or that, or we may just want to be peaceful, 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 and not be so willing to interrupt our peaceful life to satisfy the desire of Krishna. So there's devotional service in which we still haven't fully transcended the modes of material nature. But devotional service is so nice that if we continue performing devotional service under the guidance of the bona fide spiritual master, then Sagunam Samadhi Chaitanya will get free from all of these influences. Why is it that I cannot understand some part of the book, Watering the Seed? What can I do? Read it again. It's not surprising, there's so much there that we may not understand, but we read it again. Bhagavad Gita, all of the books, Why is Watering the Seed, all of these books, we'll never fully understand because they're Krishna. And who can fully understand Krishna's? Even Krishna doesn't fully understand himself. He's so unlimited that he expands his knowledge potency to understand himself. But now he's expanded more. He has to expand his knowledge potency more, but he's expanded more. So there's no limit, even Krishna. In the Bhagavad Gita, Kripa Arjuna says, only you understand yourself. But in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Kaviraj Goswami says, no, even he doesn't understand himself. So what to speak of us? We can just read and appreciate and read again and appreciate again and try to understand, consult other devotees. Devotees understand, they discuss among themselves, and they enjoy enlightening talks about Krishna. Shall we stop here? Give me a... Yes. Okay. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna, all glories to Shri Prabhupada.